Welcome to episode 1035. It's Thursday, May 28th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and Casper.com, plus listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Looking for a new mattress? Save $50 on your purchase when you visit Casper.com/GeekNews. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Have we got a great show lined up for you? Lots to share. It's been a crazy week. Got some news as well. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There's no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, again, my name is Todd Cochran. I'm just pleased to be here with you. And if you're brand new to the show, I want to give you a very, very warm welcome for checking the show out for the first time. Thank you so much. And I'll give you some information on how to subscribe to the show here in just a minute. But those of you that are longtime subscribers, thanks for staying subscribed and being part of the Ohana. We've got a lot to share tonight. It's been a crazy week here in the Cochran household. The week has just, went like that. I can't believe it's almost June already. But where is the year going? It's been an insane ride already this year. And it's just... it's pretty nuts. But anyway, again, if you're brand new to the show, hey, thanks for being here. I want you to get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content. Our writers are cranking away, and there's really two things you need to do. If you're on your iOS or you're an Apple user, just click on the iTunes link under subscribe to podcast. If you're an Android user, click on the green link with the Android icon and subscribe via Android. If you don't have a podcasting app, we're going to prompt you to download one that's one-click subscribe capable, and you're going to be able to get connected here to all the podcasts in entire podcasting space. Now, if you're in Windows Phone, don't worry. Windows Phone, you guys can still use the RSS feed or on another device. Of course, you can always, again, come back to the website here at geeknewscentral.com and just check the website. And play the show, either audio or video, either one, right on the website. So don't forget that. We're on all the basic platforms. We're on Stitcher. We're on Spreaker. We're really everywhere that podcasts are. And, of course, this show is also on set-top boxes like the Google TV, Roku. You can watch the show on the Tech Podcast channel. Actually, listen or watch on your Roku if you want. So lots of ways to get connected with the show. We want you to subscribe to the newsletter as well. That way you'll get all the show notes delivered directly to your inbox. The newsletter link is on the website. You can follow me on Twitter at Geek News, or you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. At Twitter, Twitter is again at Geek News, and the email address is geeknews@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook, Google Plus. Don't do the Pinterest thing. My kids have been telling me I need to start doing Pinterest, but don't do that. So you won't find me there, but everywhere else you will. Hey, I want to thank our sponsor tonight. One of our sponsors, of course, is GoDaddy.com. And great deals for all of you. And we're going to roll right into June here and probably carry over most of the deals that are on the website. We may be adding a few. We've been talking with the GoDaddy folks about that. So that will be forthcoming probably around the first week of June, obviously, if we get those new codes and up and available for you. But we want to thank each and every one of you that supported GoDaddy this month by being a sponsor, using my codes, and continue to share them with your friends, people that you know. The best really way to really make sure you get that code locked in is to go over to the GoDaddy page at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And then I just need you to click on the promo code link 30% off new products, 99cent.com. So restrictions apply. Basically, you have to pay that little ICANN fee of like 13 cents or something like that. Website builder, where you get a domain, you get an Outlook email address, and you get a website builder account, $1 a month for 12 months. And of course, we've got the $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain. And really, that seems to always be the most popular one for folks launching a website. Again, $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain. You really can't beat that at all. Again, see the features. The link is available on the website. Click one of those three codes. Or if you get to the checkout counter, you can use it there. But I do prefer it. It makes it easier for GoDaddy and I to track when you basically click the link and do it that way. But well, thank again GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. I got a little thing to talk about GoDaddy here in just a few minutes. But anyway, it's been a busy week here. Family's in town. It's just been nonstop. My two nieces have been here having a great time as well. It's just like they are out all day doing stuff and then they get back and it's just like we eat and collapse showers. It's just an ongoing bit of a madhouse, but they fly out on Saturday, day after my son's graduation. So they'll be headed back to Michigan where the two nieces have to finish up school. My mom and my mom goes back to doing her business and my sister doing whatever she does during the day. But anyway, it's been fun having them here. But things aren't going to slow down. Really, tonight I was getting some stuff ready. Here in Hawaii, it's kind of crazy. It's different in many instances in the mainland. We have big posters. After the graduation's over, all the parents go onto the football field. They hold the signboard up with a big poster of your graduate's picture. Number one, so they can find you, because there's like 500 kids that are going to be trying to find their parents. Number two, all the relatives to find you so that they can find you amongst the mass. And then those of you that watched the pictures last year on Facebook, and you'll be on watching this tomorrow, they get basically lays from here to almost to the top of their head. And then we continuously have to like take lays off, and I call it unloading. We unload them two or three times, and we got one person there, and people bring their graduation envelopes too. So, and then all kinds of crazy stuff is given. They give money lays, they give candy lays, they give flower lays, of course, and then they have the you guys all know that when you take your kids to the kiddie pool or to the pool when they're young, they get in those little floats, right? Well, for some reason here, that's a big deal. Everyone ends up with these kiddie floats around their waist, and it's fun, it's crazy, it's a good time. But tomorrow afternoon, we hope we don't get rain, and I'll get number two graduated and next transition into college. That's why I need you guys to support the sponsors, okay? Anyway, so as soon as that's over, the students then leave. It's called Project Grad. Many of you have this in your cities. They load the kids up on a bus, and they take them to a secret location to have a night of fun. And we prepaid that. My wife is one of the counselors that goes, so she'll be getting on the bus with them to go. Not counselor, chaperone. And they spend all night. And then Saturday morning at 6 a.m., I have to be at the school to pick both of them up. Ray will come home and probably collapse. But my wife, you know, I just told her a few minutes ago, you need to go to bed, because as soon as we get back Saturday from pick them up, I got to take probably some suitcases to the airport, then come back to the house again, and then reload everybody up, and then we're off. And my son, Chris, has what's called a genius program at UH, and it's a science project. It's they wear lab coats. But anyway, his graduation from that's tomorrow, and their last experiments. So we're going to do that, and then we have another graduation and graduation parties. By about 9 o'clock Saturday night, I'm going to be like, duh. My wife will be worse because she will have been up all night. It's going to be nuts. But Sunday will be a relaxed time for the rest of the gang, except for me. I've been invited to go watch the New Horizons aircraft a land here in Honolulu. They basically said, "You're press, please come out." So I'm going to be taking cameras and be doing video of the New Horizon landing here in Honolulu. I don't know what time. They're basically going to update us as the day goes on, Friday and Saturday. But it's coming from Japan. And with all luck, it'll be in Sunday morning pretty early. So anyway, that's what's going on here. That's going to kill the weekend. But let me just tell you one thing. It is coming up. I've been invited by GoDaddy to come to the Michigan 400. Well, I picked the race to go to. Figured if I was going to go to a race, I might as well double it up and be able to go home. So on June 9th, I'm going to fly out of Honolulu, and that's a Tuesday. So there will be a Monday show on June 8th. But June 9th, I'm going to be flying out to Detroit. Then I'll be attending the race on Sunday the 14th. I'll be spending the 11th, 12th, and 13th at my mom's place. 14th, going to the race, getting to interview Danica. And then staying in a hotel in Detroit and flying back Monday the 15th. So there probably will be, I don't know what I'm going to do for show content the 18th and, the 11th and the 15th. I do have some surprise stuff for you coming. So maybe I'll substitute that as content on those days. I'll let you know. It all depends on how things go and if I'm able to do it correctly. So I'm excited about some stuff I'm about to share with you next month. But anyway, that's kind of what the schedule is. This kind of came up right here at the last minute. I was making a decision whether or not I was going to go or not and decide to pull the trigger. But anyway, that is where we're at. We'll get into the tech content here in just a second. Of course, we want to thank Casper, who's been a sponsor this month. And it's been actually great to have that extra mattress here while the additional family members are here. And we all know that mattresses can cost a lot of money. But one thing I will say is based upon about the 3 weeks we've been able to, or two to 2.5 weeks we've been able to sleep on this Casper mattress, that it's a great value at a great price. It really, really is. It's just, it's got the right amount of sink. It's got the right comfort. No sore back, sleeping all the way through the night. Really, it slept just like my very, very expensive bed in my master bedroom. And best part is, if you want to try one, you can try it risk-free for 100 days. So you can try sleeping on a Casper for 100 days, again, with free delivery. That's the important part because this thing's heavy. It's you don't want to pay the shipping. So 100 days with free delivery and a painless return. They'll come and get it from you. So the mattress is made in America. It's not made outside the United States. $500 for a twin-size mattress, $950 for a king. Compare that to industry averages, and man, it's just an astounding price. But you can get $50 off toward any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/geeknews. And if you use my Geek News code, again, you're going to save $50. So please do that. And when you go over to the website, it is a piece of cake. They're going to walk you through the process. You're going to lock that mattress in. You can shop for the one that you want. And they're beautiful. And gives you the dimensions and talks about everything about the premium latex foam and cooling bounce, memory foam for supportive comfort. Again, a great value. And again, go to casper.com/geeknews. And remember, terms and conditions apply. So definitely check that out on the website. But you want to thank Casper for being a sponsor here this evening. So you could have brought me a glass. This is okay. My son brought me, the intro was starting tonight, I realized that I had not brought water. Normally I bring a glass of water. And I texted my son during the intro. I said, "Bring me water." And he brought me a bottled water. I don't normally like doing that because we try to be environmentally conscious here and not use plastic water bottles very much, only when we absolutely need to. Okay, so let me go ahead and get into the stack of stuff that we have for you tonight, that I have for you tonight. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't feel free to come over to the chat room at geeknewslive.geeknewscentral.com. And for all of you, you can always watch this show right there on the live site as well. The last show is always up and available for you. So let me go ahead and close this and open that. I was today the Google I/O 215 conference opened up, and there was a lot shared, and the news was just absolutely slammed with stuff that was announced. And I think the thing that probably affects most of us right off the bat is the new Google Photo app, both for Android and for iOS. And you can actually go to photos.google.com and actually see the images as well. That's probably in your account already. But a lot of folks are already giving thumbs up for it. And Google Photos is Gmail for your images. And that's kind of the full explanation I kind of want to, you know, share with you guys, is that, you know, playing with the app and everything is really slick. And what's amazing to me is that, you know, the first thing I did was I went and looked at, okay, how am I going to upload stuff? How much are they going to give me to upload? And they are giving free uploads, unlimited uploads, if you allow them not to keep the master copy. You're going to get a reduced size version. I thought, oh man, that sucks. And I went and looked at the pricing. I know how much, how many photos I have. Do I want to put it on another site? Because I got most of the stuff already on Flickr. And really, I decided no, I didn't really want to do that. So I took some pictures from back from 2001, and I uploaded them. And I uploaded them in the quality mode setting that where I got free. And I'm going to let you guys do your own experiment with this. But the version that I uploaded and the version that was shown on the site, I was shocked. I was very pleased with it. You're definitely going to want to still keep your master high-quality ones. You're not going to want to lose those. But, of course, they organize the pictures by date, and they help categorize them. And you can easily share across all the different platforms. It's really, it's pretty nice. And again, if you're used to using Gmail or Google Drive, you know, has that same touch and feel. Whether you're on an iOS device or if you're on an Android phone, either one. So they've done a really good job with this. I'm pretty pleased with how it's turned out. I'm not going to pay for the extra bandwidth. I'm just going to let the folks over there and have their way with the images, and I'll use them for whatever I need for online. And have my masters. Now they're doing face recognition, it appears, because they're going to group stuff by families, and they're doing some face clustering, which is interesting, and I think probably as we start identifying people, it'll probably get better. But there's going to be collections, and you can be able to organize stuff real well. So I think all of us will be playing with it and really seeing how it works, and be able to give some good reviews here in a couple of days. But that was one of the big announcements that they had. Of course, really, Google I/O, and it's, I'll be honest with you, there's no trade winds here in Hawaii right now, and the studio temperature is already increasing. It's like, feels like it's about 100 degrees in here, and I'm cranking the fan up tonight to the highest setting because I need the air. So if you hear that fan, it's my apologies, but like I said, it's about 100 in here right now because the trade winds are off and the humidity's way up. But let's talk about what really has been happening, and if we can sum up the important announcements of Google I/O 2015, the 12 most important. First one right off the bat is Android M. Android M looks a lot like its predecessor. It's more like a reorganization of Android with power optimization and changes to how your apps will interact. And if you're a dev, you can check out the preview today. Those are available. But app permissions are getting less intimidating. It's Chrome essentially in all your apps. So right now, when you click on a web link from within an app, you either have to load the browser or use a stripped down web view in an app. Now, Google announced something called Chrome Custom Tabs. What looks like an app in look like an in-app Chrome browser, and it's supposed to make loading pages faster by preloading certain elements, better battery life, and of course USB-C. Google Now is going to be on tap. This is kind of a probably one of the most exciting demos I saw during the intro. So they're trying to get they are getting smarter, and it's going to be incorporated throughout the phone. It's called Now on Tap. With Now on Tap, you can hold the home button and bring up what's called Now Cards on relevant information on what's on your screen. So whether you're an app, email, browser, for example, if someone emails you about going to a movie, summing Now on Tap is essentially what's going to happen is it's going to give you information about the movie and potentially tell you where movies are close and where you can buy tickets and so forth. It can prompt you to set up to-do items and give you restaurants listings with along with the buttons for Yelp, Maps, and OpenTable. So that's a big expansion. Now, Google Photos, we talked about that already. Offline Maps are also happening, so the Maps will work when you're not connected. Android Everywhere, obviously, more polishing for Android Wear. They are also now making this big push to Project Brillo, where they want to come into our homes and have a lower layer Android applications where a weave of communication systems that will let smart devices talk to each other. And Google hopes you install both of them on your door, locks, light bulbs, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll see where this goes. Android Pay has been revamped, supposed to work a lot better. We'll see. HBO Now is coming to Android, which is exciting. And then some virtual reality stuff, a VR camera. I'm going to break some of this down just a little bit deeper, but I wanted to give you the high-level stuff here to start off with tonight on what was announced. And just so you know, Mac did make an announcement today. We'll talk about that later. But the Google Pay or Android Pay, you know, I have even using my phone. I haven't used my phone, my iPhone, to pay for very much stuff, and I don't think many of us have, just because we're not in the habit of doing that. But Android Pay lets you pay for things at wireless payout terminals using NFC. But it's also designed to work within apps so that your payment credentials can follow you around. And but they've been showcasing it at the conference and basically allowing people to pay for stuff and trying to get people buy like sodas and food with their phones while they're at the event. So Google Pay or Android Pay is going to probably grow just like the iPhone infrastructure as well. Now, Gmail now has 900 million active users. 75% of them are using a mobile device as well. Last year, 8 out of 10 devices sold worldwide were running Android. That's pretty incredible. And there's now more than 4,000 devices that are running Android as a platform. That's, if you think about that ecosystem, it's huge. So, you know, they are really, economy of scale is really playing to Google's hands at this point. And the strategy that they've had all these years to be everything for us, search engine, email, spreadsheets, documents, collaboration, presentations, you name it, that's available via extra apps and services. Google really touches our lives, most of our lives, every single day. And for many of you, it's even deeper than that, especially if you have an Android phone. But, you know, some of these products have required you to be online to be able to access them. But Google's brought you turn-by-turn directions to offline maps. So what's really going to happen here is turn-by-turn directions will soon be accessible for maps, even when you don't have a data connection. So this is big. This is a boon for all of us that are traveling off the beaten path or visiting countries without LTE. I don't know exactly what's going to be required or how much they're going to preload. That tells me that, you know, they're going to have to load quite a little bit. So it is going to be interesting to see how it works when you're in foreign countries, again, without a data connection. little H2O. Chromecast has received an update. It's getting autoplay. It's getting queuing. And of course, more multi-game powers. And they want people to do more multi-game stuff with the Chromecast. And, you know, Chromecast is a quiet little media secret. It's a secret agent turning a search engine into a big-time home entertainment player. All told, users of Cast-enabled software have hit the little Cast button about 1.5 billion times since its introduction. Chromecast floats other Google boats, floats other Google boats as well. Users increase their YouTube viewing by 45% on average once they start using the device. So the autoplaying and queuing is going to make streaming TV more like traditional TV. And actually, some of the apps are going to look like TV channels now, which makes it more exciting for me. So this means providing developers with the power to buffer a second video while a first is playing back, and also to create cues that a user doesn't even have to offer up their own direct input to get things started and rolling. Users can, however, be given access to queue controls, letting them reorder clips, add their own as needed, which isn't even something accomplished on Netflix right now. And of course, the Google API, they really want to push folks to do more gaming on Chromecast. It's all about the games. Now, Google's fired another volley at Apple in the war of the App Store. The tech giant has upgraded its Play Store and what it's in its latest skirmish with Apple for dominance in mobile apps. And Google Play is growing up. For years, a search giant store for apps, music, books, TV shows, and movies for Android has been battling, you know, what's going on with Apple. For most of that time, Apple had a very clear upper hand, but it's starting to change. From its launch in 2008 through June of 2014, Apple App Store handled 75 billion downloads. Meanwhile, in a bit of one-upmanship, Google said it's fielded around 50 billion downloads in just the past 12 months. This is huge. So on Thursday, Google announced its latest push to make Play a more formidable foil to Apple. The upgrades are just part of the longest-running war. And, of course, the announcements are some of the stuff we've already talked about here, but they are trying to make a family-friendly version of Google Play. And this is an appeal to parents and children to use Android devices. The new Playpen is intended to create a safer environment for young users to find appropriate content, absent that sometimes violent video games may show up in their, you know, in their selection field. Earlier this year, Google's outgoing CFO, Patrick Pache, noted that Google Play Store helped lift the company's non-advertising revenue 23%. That's big. So all these devices, 780 million sold in 2013, and all the, just the huge number of devices are really, and the thing is, they're really, it, you know, I've got three, I still have three Android tablets because they're affordable, you know? It's not a $500-$700 outlay for a tablet. So the road ahead is still, Google has challenges. They still lag behind in revenue. The average Apple iOS user spends more money than a typical Android user. And App Annie, a company that tracks App Store sales, recently estimated that Apple App Store's first quarter revenue was 70% higher than Google Play, and that marked an increase from 60% in the third quarter of last year. So I don't know why Android users are still lagging. There's more of you worldwide. Now, the next really question is, too, you know, we've been working on this problem of getting more Android listeners to listen to podcasts. So I want you iPhone users to do me a little field survey. If you've got a friend that's using an Android device, you need to ask them, are you listening to podcasts? And if they are not, ask them why not. And see if you get an answer. And I'd like to have you guys send me an email. Let me know what your fellow Android users that, again, those of you that are listening to the show, you guys don't have to ask yourselves this question. Or maybe Android users, fellow Android users, maybe to ask, you know, folks that you see as well, why aren't you listening to podcasts? I'd really like a little more deeper dive on that. We're trying to figure out why the Android space is so lagging behind in the podcast listener space. And it's really huge. It's a big, big delta. Anyway, do that little homework for me. I would appreciate it. I've got a full article for Google Now. We talked a little bit about it. I'm not going to go into any more detail than what we have, but I wanted to share this link that was from The Verge. We'll put that up on the system as well. I've also got a dedicated article talking about Brillo. So we'll get into that as well. And of course, the Android M looks like quarter three. And so those of you that are on an app infrastructure, like a Nexus, where the device will be updated immediately when the software is released. Usually Android, like Samsung and those folks, lag a little bit. But we will see where this goes. Of course, Lollipop was, succeed Android Lollipop. M is the new name. And going to be big changes. And they actually fixed the thing that got the biggest cheer at the event. They're going to fix copy and paste in the Android. And I was like, yes, that's the thing that drives me the most insane with the Android device is copy and paste. It just is a pain to use. Now, NVIDIA today made some announcements. It's launching what it's called its Shield set-top box for Android TV with optional 500 gig hard drive. Now, listen to this. And I'm scratching my head a little bit. So, NVIDIA is, they're trying to find their spot again. And they began a grand strategy change to television today with the launch of its NVIDIA Shield set-top box for Android TV. The graphic chip maker is straying far from semiconductors, launching a consumer product that will directly challenge rivals like Roku and Apple TV. This Shield is for sale now on NVIDIA's website and Amazon and Best Buy for $200. It has 16 gigs of flash memory, and also NVIDIA announced today a version with a 500 gig hard drive for $300. Now, what's different about this? This thing is going to have 4K graphics. This is pretty bold move here that they're gonna put this out with 4K graphics. NVIDIA machine is beefy, starting with a Tegra X1 processor, which has 256 processing cores in its GPU and a 64-bit multi-central processing unit. NVIDIA says the box gives 30 times the performance of competing devices. It better with the price that it is. It's going to have more than 200 Android games. So this is serious play here by the NVIDIA folks, and what they're really trying to challenge here. And this is even going after Google TV. So if this thing has enough ponies underneath the hood, this could be a new gaming device as well as all the standard apps. It's getting crazy to be in it. What I like to support all this, but one thing I do like is Android TV is getting much, much greater adoption. So I think what's going to end up happening is we're going to ask the guys to port our app, our tech podcast app, to Android TV, just so that you guys will have the ability, for those of you who are starting to pick these devices up, to play with, to watch the shows from this network on those devices. And of course, again, I talked about HBO Now is coming. The Apple exclusive streaming window is ending. And that's huge. So HBO Now will be available starting on June 21st. But this is big. Big for all of you Android users that are cord cutters out there. All right, switching gear a little bit off of Google. Amazon made a major announcement today that they're planning to Amazon plans to add its own line of foods, milk, cereal, baby food, household products would carry what's called an elements label. Now, this is genius because at the same time, they have announced that they will do home delivery daily. Home delivery in 500, I think that's what it was, total of 500 cities nationwide. I don't know if that's going to be initially or if that's going to expand to 500, but this expansion in private label business mirrors a more traditional retail model where name brand products are sold besides store-owned goods. Private labels have become a vital business for mass market retailers, generating stronger margins and building loyalty with consumers who no longer view generic products as low quality. So elements available to customers to pay the $99 a year Prime unlimited shipping membership. So Amazon has approached some private label food manufacturers seeking a partner, according to people familiar with the matter. Those discussions included Treehouse Foods Incorporated of Oakville, Illinois, one of the largest private label producers with $3 billion in sales last year. Amazon declined to comment. A spokesman for Treehouse declined to comment on any talks with Amazon, but know the company does business with all of the nation's top retailers and operates in 15 grocery categories. So this is big. You know, one thing that other companies have failed to do is to make it easy to shop. This afternoon, if you guys, those of you who are watching, you notice behind me, my LED screen is dead. It's been going for a while. Every show, I have to bump it a few times to try to get it to start and to run. And today, it gave up the ghost. It's done. So I'm debating, okay, do I replace it or do I just, you know, just be done with it and not have it up there anymore? I haven't decided yet. I might be looking for something a little more sexy, but I don't know. I got to make a decision on that. So I went to Google and I was looking around and saw some of the new stuff that's available, and I don't think it'll fit up there in that space that's available. But, you know, there's some options. But I found, you know, on Amazon, it used to be I'd have to go to a dedicated site that carried LED signs. Not anymore. So if I can find that kind of stuff on Amazon, why wouldn't I just order food? Especially if they can deliver to my house for free at a comparable price. That's exciting to me at all. So, you know, Costco, Target, Walgreens, Walmart, you know, all those companies don't really have home food delivery. So we'll see where this leads and how wide and what the product line will be. But I'm pretty excited about it. I think it's good. Now, speaking of Costco, and for those of you that are watching the video, how many of you buy a pizza or two from Costco? We do because they're cheap. They're the cheapest pizzas in Hawaii. But let me show you something. I worked in a pizza place and I had to put the sauce down. But they've got a video on and basically shows how they put the sauce. And it's just a machine that spins with a hose that goes across. And it puts the tomato paste right on the pizza. Brilliant. I've never seen this machine. They must have it hid in the stores I go into, but someone got a picture of one. So it's pretty slick. It really is. Why do I show this on a tech show? I show you stuff I think is cool. I'll have the link up in the show notes. This afternoon, I got a call from Nielsen. And they wanted me to do a survey. And I was curious, and I normally hang up on these types of people, and I asked her, is this Nielsen.com? She says, yeah. I'm like, okay, I will do your survey. And they asked a lot of questions, and I could tell that it was very focused on Ford. At least that's how my questioning matrix went. And they're asking me questions about GM, Toyota, but they kept coming back to Ford and asked me things about Ford's leadership. And it was a call by Nielsen directed towards a journalist. And so they asked me to begin with, are you a journalist? Who do you work for? Blah, blah, blah. It wasn't like a consumer survey. So it was interesting to get a survey like that. I've never had one of those type of calls before, but Ford had some additional stuff in the news today. They're following Tesla's lead in opening all their electric vehicle patents. So in a press release today, Ford announced that they're opening to competitors and the patents and patent applications they have for electric vehicles. The move is not unlike what Tesla did last year when they opened all their patents in the spirit of accelerating the advent of electric transport. Here's what Kevin Layden, Ford's Director of Electrification Programs, had to say about the announcement. Innovation is our goal. The way to provide the best technology is through constant development progress. By sharing our research with other companies, we will accelerate the growth of electrified vehicles and deliver even better products to customers. So this was pretty bold by Ford in doing this. And it takes a lot of guts because that's company IP. And companies don't like to share company IP. Over on the Register, there is a controversy that is brewing. .sucks, .sucks, the domains, .sucks. Well, the US FTC has responded to questions over the legality of the .sucks domain, pricing specifically, with a 3-page I told you so letter to ICANN. So ICANN is upset that Vox Populi, the company in charge of .sucks, is charging companies $2,500 to defensively register .sucks domains before the trolls do. So there's a pre-registration period where companies can go over and buy their company's name and buy the .sucks extension. They're going to charge those companies $2,500 to buy them early. The .sucks domains will only be $10 when they're open to the general public. And you know there's going to be a land rush of people to buy .sucks domains. So the FTC says, hey, we told you this is going to be the case. And what's interesting is they don't address the domain. They could care less, but they talk about the pricing a little bit and the concerns they had before. So they feel that the ICANN has lost touch in this particular instance, and they're not following the directions and recommendations that were given to them over the new top-level domain program. And because they had given them policy recommendations and feels that the .sucks domain register is outside of those recommendations. So we will watch this with entertainment. If you want a .sucks domain, just a few months, you're going to be able to pick one up at your local GoDaddy.com domain register. Hey, the feds are going to overhaul a program that delivers broadband to the poor. While 95% of American households earning six figures annually have access to broadband internet, just 48% of homes making under $25,000 enjoy the same benefit. Thursday, the FCC announced plans to reduce that internet inequality gap by subsidizing the Broadband Access for America fund. So America's poorest families, specifically the FCC, is looking to revamp its existing Lifeline program, which already provides phone and prepaid wireless service, to now include broadband as well. So folks that were getting free phones, those types of things, they will now probably qualify for this free internet service. But we all know that those programs have been very corrupt. People were getting phones that should not get phones. It really kind of raised the ire of a lot of people, a lot of taxpayers, that felt if folks want a phone, they should go out and earn money to own one themselves and pay for it. But they bought these prepaid phones for folks that are impoverished. And at least that's who they're supposed to go to. And I think anytime we can help the impoverished and bring internet into their home so that we can help them with education, job applications, all that I think is positive. I just don't know how these big government programs can do this effectively. Time will tell. All right, we already talked a little bit about Android TV will display video apps as traditional channels, so I don't need to go into that at all. But I want to move on to a different type of topic here. When hackers swiped 32,500 patient records from Cottage Healthcare System. You can imagine that the folks were at the, you know, that were, that had their information stolen, probably were pretty freaked out. You know, medical information is pretty close and dear to all of us. We don't necessarily want to share exactly what's going on with us, except with friends and family and so forth. But when, it, again, this company was sued by its customers for $4.1 million, and that bill was settled by its insurer. Now the insurance company, Columbia Casualty Company, has claimed Cottage computers, in other words, the healthcare system's computers, were hopelessly insecure, and it wants its money back. Columbia claims the healthcare provider's IT security was so poor that attackers were able to access its networks and sensitive computer data via an anonymous FTP account found via a Google search. The Columbia suit accuses Cottage of failing to meet minimum requests regarding data security, putting in violation of its insurance policies. So the insurance company says, hey, you guys didn't do what you're supposed to do. $4.1 million. You didn't hire the IT guy? You outsourced that, or you skimped on it, or whatever they may have done? You know, so many of our IT workers today are being replaced by H2 workers. Con Edison in California, we all know that they did this in a big way. People were not at all happy with that. We've had listeners from this audience that were part of that drawdown. But when I hear stories like this about companies that had open FTP servers with passwords, usernames and passwords out on the internet, it just blows my mind. Now, have any of you ever Googled for your social security name number? Have any of you ever Googled for let's say you're using a common password? Have they ever any Googled for that to see if that common password is out there associated with your email address or so forth? You know, Google is all telling, all knowing. If it ends up on a document that's linked anywhere on the net, Google's going to get it, and it's going to get it very, very quickly. And that can be found when people really use the refined search options in Google. I do it all the time. Looking for information, looking for product research, looking for part numbers, that kind of stuff. So I don't blame this insurance company for wanting their money back. And maybe this company will hire some of these IT workers, the guy, you know, that everyone has at their office, or two or three, or ladies maybe, to basically lock down and make their product secure. A lot of people are worried about Google Plus. Well, Google Plus is not going away. For everyone's been in Google Plus or been on the Google Plus death watch, Search Giant says that's not necessary. They are making some changes, but it is Google Plus is here to stay for the time being. nothing can be forever with Google. Oh, you're all gonna love this. You're gonna love this. I'm okay. NSFW warning. Okay, this is a not safe for work warning. So after the FBI seized thousands of sites like megaupload.com, well, earlier this week, apparently the FBI forgot to renew the domain name. And someone else did. So earlier this week, something really suspicious started happening. So with web addresses related to the site seized by the FBI for Mega Upload and a number of online gambling sites, instead of directing browsers to a page with an FBI banner, they started dropping web servers to a malicious feed of web advertisements, some of them laden with malware, some of them laden with adult material. So be forewarned. The hijacking of Mega Upload's domains wasn't the result of some sophisticated hack. Based on evidence collected by a number of sites, it appears that someone at the FBI cyber division failed to renew the domain registration. So they turned those domains over. And as soon as they expired, they were snatched up in a GoDaddy auction by a self-described black hat SEO marketer. So this is This is pretty crazy. So as of Thursday afternoon, all the server names associated with the domain no longer resolve to an internet address. Oh, GoDaddy suspended the domain registration. Oh. So maybe they didn't get them. Well, this is interesting. According to historic domains by ours, the domain maintained by the FBI Cyber Division was registered through, yeah, someone forgot to renew it. So I wonder if the company went to, if the FBI went on them. Wow. Scott Gerlach, a senior security architect at GoDaddy, confirmed the domain had been sold at auction after it expired. Obviously, there are people trying to get a hold of domain names when they go into expire. I do as well. I buy names that are on expire. The part that's different in this case is there malware going onto those sites, and this particular domain was providing DNS control for a bunch of other ones. This is the first time we've seen that. Oh, but did GoDaddy actually put the domains on hold? An expired domain goes into hold for 43 days after its expiration. I know that, during which it continues to operate as configured by the customer, that many of the seized domains handling the FBI's name server on the website contain to resolve to the seizure banner page. That's likely because the new owners cloned the FBI DNS records to his own name server. Oh, so they did a little DNS trick. So these were probably what happened was is there's times you can buy an expired domain, but what happens then is it goes into like a holding period. You can't get it. It's like you've bought it, but you have to wait for it to be released. And that's kind of what typically happens. And then it's sometimes a couple of weeks. I've seen it go as long as a month, but they're say 43 days. From when it goes on hold. So sometimes the owner can get the domain back, so you don't fully own it yet. So maybe this is what happened. But anyway, those domains resolved differently for at least a little while. We've all heard about these companies that sell diplomas. And obviously, if you're going out and buying a Master of Business Administration in Finance or something like that, you should have probably done the if you're going out and buying that, you are getting something that is worthless. But it appears overseas, it's even more prevalent, and people get away by saying, hey, I went to such and such university, because they don't do as much deep checking. They honor the degree. But the CEO of a Pakistani company called Exact, which called itself the country's largest software exporter, was arrested yesterday in Karachi. Exact and CEO Shoaib Ahmed Shaki are accused of running a global network of selling fake diplomas. Local television networks showed a room filled with fakes, according to the report of the New York Times and Guardian. Documents were stamped with letterhead from fake Exact-owned universities with the names like Bayview, Campbell State, and Oxdell. Other Exact institutions adopted names that were mimicked well-known universities such as Berkeley and Columbiana. So they were spelled a little bit different. I guess people think they can get away by just having a fake degree. Kind of funny. A lot of people do that. It's very smart to go call the university in question and get a transcript. Canadian man has been fined for using his Apple Watch while driving. So Canadian readers said a man named Jeffrey Messine was recently pulled over and fined $120 for using his Apple Watch behind the wheel. Messine told CTV News Montreal that the watch was inside a bag and he was only charging songs on it at the moment. Since it was plugged into the car radio, he thought the cop only wanted to get him out of the way. He thought the cop only wanted him to get out of the way when he turned the cruiser lights on, but the officer obviously thought the device was causing a distraction. So he got a ticket. So apparently that they're watching for people using a watch now. So if you have a regular watch, be careful, okay? Now, depending on where you live, rent for apartments vary. And If you live in California, for example, you must make at least $26.65 an hour to afford a two-bedroom apartment. If you live in Texas, $16.62. If you live in Indiana, $14.31. Michigan, $15.16. If you live in Maine, $16.71. Pennsylvania, $17.75. Florida, $19.47. And Hawaii, $31.61. $31.61 an hour is what you have to earn to afford a two-bedroom apartment. There's not very many $31 jobs here in Hawaii. All right, on Reddit, I found a post by a gentleman who says, my new job prays after computer literate via malware they create. What to do? This guy tells a story about working for a company called Easy Tech Support, and he was in a sales position selling software. And people would just basically call them after their computers had gotten infected with malware that their company had gotten on their machines. And then they basically, is largely older people, they run their wallets dry, setting up services and fake antivirus and a whole bunch of stuff. He talks about this in some detail. This is pretty disgusting. So I'm going to have it linked up in the show notes for you to review. And a good thing to maybe warn a aging parent about, as it could be a scam out there, okay? There's an initiative. It's on the website blackoutcongress.org. And what it is what they're doing is they're providing a widget to website owners. And essentially, when the website owners embed a small snippet of code on their pages that detects an IP address of someone from Congress, it redirects anyone from Congress to the blackout page that I have up for those of you that are watching the show. And so basically it doesn't allow them to go to the sites that they want to go to. So if you are a website owner and you want to support this initiative and block Congress from getting to your website, you can go to blackoutcongress.org. First of all, I'd be shocked if anybody from Congress is actually ever coming to my website. All right, AT&T wants to choose which online video services count against data caps. Sound familiar? AT&T doesn't want any rules preventing it from choosing which online video service count against its customers' data caps. AT&T's sponsored data program already charges businesses, often in the ad industry, for the right to deliver services without counting against customers' mobile data caps. AT&T could potentially charge online video streaming service for exemptions from the caps imposed on AT&T home broadband subscribers as well, or exempt its own online services from caps. So basically, folks are saying no. Everyone, there should be no one that's doing pay-to-play to get free bandwidth through their service. The folks are urging the FCC to reject the proposed conditions and making AT&T make basically not have fast lanes. As we all know, the net neutrality stuff is not supposed to allow. Are any of you watching games on Twitch? Well, Twitch has come out with an announcement, especially if those of you that are gaming on it. Gaming stream service Twitch this week reiterated that it does not condone adult-only rated titles. Simply put, adult-oriented games are not welcome on Twitch, the company wrote in a blog post. In adherence with the Entertainment Software Ratings Board, ESRB classification, Twitch defines adult-only as content suitable for people 18 years and older. Such titles may include intense violence, graphics, adult scenes, and gambling with real money. So they don't want that type of content on Twitch. That's a lot of those games are like that, right? For those of you who are devs, Google has announced the Cloud Test Lab. You can basically test your code against 20 different devices, top 20 devices, to see if they actually work and what the screens are going to look and the mock-up and the size and so forth. So pretty smart stuff. They allow you to walk through their apps on selected devices via the cloud. Now, Apple's acquired augmented reality company Mateo. This was a 29 million euro purchase. And so this is an interesting move that they're looking at augmented reality. So this is a an acquisition again by Apple. Over on we need to cover that. We talked about that. Also, okay, today the new 15-inch MacBook supports 5K displays, 4096 by 2160. So again, Apple's new 15-inch MacBook Pro is the first of Apple's notebooks officially support single-stream 4K displays at full resolution, 4096 by 2160. The new MacBook Pro is also the first to support a 5K display. Don't know if the price has went up, but if you are a Mac Pro user and you're due for an upgrade, you can get this higher resolution. Also, Amazon has launched free, and I talked about this earlier, Amazon has launched free same-day delivery for Prime members in 500 U.S. cities, including Seattle. So this is big. Amazon launching, again, free same-day delivery for more than 1 million items across a major swath of the U.S. covering 500 cities and towns. Under the new rules, orders more than $35 were shipped for free as long as the customer pays $99 a year to be Amazon Prime members. Orders must be placed by noon to be received by 9 p.m. Previous Amazon charged Prime members $5.99 for same-day shipping. This price will remain the same for non-Prime users who have to pay $8.99 plus 99 cents per item for same-day deliveries. But if you're a Prime user, free same-day delivery. I want to see, where's the cities? Where's the list? I doubt I have it here. So I will see if I can find a link to the cities, but you'll know when you go to check out whether or not it's available or not. All right, the IRS has come back and talked a little bit about its data theft. They believe the data theft happened from Russia. And again, that criminals stole 100,000 tax returns and diverted $50 million. Actually, they used that data to file $50 million in fraudulent tax refunds. So the system is must be pretty weak over there because the breach was not a hack. They used personal data, he said. The thieves went in the front door of IRS and unlocked it with a key by using personal information, just by social security numbers, date of birth, mother's maiden name, et cetera, et cetera. The IRS said the agency's criminal investigation unit, the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, are investigating the origins of the breach. They also alerted the Homeland Security Department. So, I'd feel bad for you if you're one of those taxpayers, because it's painful to have to undo the damage these folks do. There's also finally an article tonight, last one. The best way to get American Netflix abroad is actually pretty shady. And if any of you are using the VDN, VPN Hola, H-O-L-A, if you're using a free service, they're probably using your bandwidth. Look at their terms. Read this article. If you're outside the United States, you're trying to get to Netflix via Hola, and you are not paying for the premium service, be aware. Some bad things are happening on your internet connection, okay? All right, that's going to wrap up the content for tonight. Got through the whole stack in good time. I do have a couple of comments tonight. Again, Solar Impulse coming to Hawaii. Looking forward to that being in. I got an email from Steve. He says, "Hey, Todd, it's hard to write this because I'm so fond of you and your podcast. For the last several years, I've sent you numerous emails complaining about your incessant and apparently unconscious use of basically in almost every sentence. I know you say you don't realize it, but you should have after all the emails I sent you. I don't think I've gotten any from him in a while. Anyway, I'm so fixated on this, I can't enjoy your podcast. I know this is my problem, not yours. I unsubscribed in December, but resubscribed in April to see if maybe your speech patterns change. Well, you're basically continues. I simply can't bear it any longer. Again, this is my problem, not yours. I wish you well. And I'll be rescribing again a year or so to see if there's any changes. Sorry, Steve." Is it that bad? You know, it's one of those things where you're trying to say, am I really saying that a lot? Please tell me. You guys are not getting annoying like this. I'm doing stuff. You know, do not hesitate to email me. This is what this show's about, being family members saying, dude, you're killing me with that. That way I can work on it. All right. And also on the last version of the show, the MP3 ID3 tags for audio version were incorrectly labeled as 1,035 instead of 1,034. So I hit a typo on the last show. So I apologize for that. All right, that's going to wrap me up here, folks. I hope you had a good time. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you for those of you that are insiders. We'll be recognizing them here in a few days. But if you're considering supporting the show, go to geekandcentral.com/insider. Become an insider. Supporting the show at $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, $25 a month. And again, we are going to be revamping and talking about goal levels. And clubs are shipping, finally, here in the just next couple of days. So those of you who have been waiting for those, you'd be happy to know I finally am finished with them. Got the engraving done and went back and forth with the vendor several times over concerns they had on the engraving. That has been resolved. But finally, after long, many months, it's they're telling me I could pick them up on the 30th. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. Okay, I think that's it. Everyone take care. Geeknews@gmail.com. If you want to leave an audio comment, you can do that via a link on the website and or just record into your mobile phone and send me the audio clip. Anyways, fine. Geeknews@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at Geeknews. Everyone take care. We'll see you on Monday. Everyone take care. Aloha.